Psalm 25 is a psalm in which David totally and completely trusts in God. Because he sinned, and because he's surrounded by various enemies and afflictions, and because he wants to understand the word of God and the will of God. So in other words, David's inability to get rid of that sinfulness and his inability to deliver himself from enemies brought him to the place where he totally had to trust in God. And as a result, he saw God do these great and powerful things for him. It's very possible that when David wrote this psalm, he was sensing that many of the negatives he was experiencing was due to his own sin. It would appear David was older when he wrote it because he looks back on the sins of his youth. It also appears as if David had a profound sense of his own sinfulness. Although we do not know for sure when David wrote this psalm, we do know what the overall message of the psalm is, and that's that David totally and completely trusted in the forgiveness of God for his sins and for deliverance from enemies and affliction and then for development in understanding God's word and God's will. All the trouble and grief that David experienced ultimately drew him into a deeper dependency on God. Sin in David's life, trouble in David's life, and enemies in David's life, and even ignorance in David's life were all things God used to draw David closer to himself. There were actually positives to all the negatives that hit David's world, and that everything caused him to draw closer to God. I want you to notice how the psalm opens. David commits his soul to God. See, it says there in verse 1, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust." He did not depend on himself or his works. He depended totally and completely on God. And as this psalm opens, it is clear that he is acknowledging to God that he was totally depending on him. So let's remember that David is already a believer. So this prayer was something he was making to God long after his faith had been established. It was sin and trouble and sorrow that continually drew his soul to God. He wanted forgiveness and he wanted resolution and even wanted deliverance. So thrill the heart of God when he hears his people so wanting him and his help in times of trouble. And so it's a thrill to the heart of God when he hears his people are totally depending on him and even trusting in him. And thinking as a parent what joy it would bring when our son or our daughter says, "I am so wrong, and I need your help to guide me. I need your help to deliver me." And that's what David does here. So after acknowledging to God that he was totally trusting him, David has reasons that motivate him to pray this prayer. He's totally trusting in God. Look at verse 2 and 3. He says, "O my God, in you I trust. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me. Indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. There shall be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous." This thought of one day being ashamed before God, it haunted David. It haunted him like a ghost. The Hebrew word, root word for ashamed is interesting. It's a word that means to be ashamed in the sense of having once been fruitful and alive, but now is dried up. And he didn't want to ever be dry up or dead in his relationship with God. So he went to God in prayer, totally trusting in him. And he asked God to not let this happen to him. He's trusting God because he doesn't want to be defeated. And shame needs to be sent away. Send it to our enemies. Enemies need to blush in shame of repentance, or they will blush in the fire of everlasting shame. And don't make a mistake about it. If you are the one who loves God and his word, you will have enemies who hate you and arrogantly, verbally assault you. And the key to defeating that is to look into your personal trust of God. And David is totally trusting in God because he wanted to understand God's word. Verses 4 and 5. "Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long." It's so easy to confuse our ways as being God's ways, when in fact, at times they're not. This is why we need to understand God's word. understanding God's word is not an automatic guarantee for any believer. Picking up the Bible and reading it doesn't mean that God will automatically enable you to understand it. God sees a passion in you, and you pray and ask the Lord to give you that understanding. And God is the only one who can cause one to truly understand and decipher his word. Charles Spurgeon said this: "It is a shame that many professors of the Bible do not realize that important truth. Many follow their own devices in deciphering Scripture, but few go to God and ask him for the grace to understand his word." And so to do that, you have to sense and admit your own ignorance and apply for that college of grace that God gives. If we truly want to grow deep in God's word, we must ask God for that privilege. We see that in the Old Testament in Proverbs 2:3, and we see it in the New Testament in Ephesians 1:15-18, and Philippians 1:9-10. And so as great a man as David was, and smart as he was, he still realized that without God, he was ignorant. And he's totally trusting God because he knew the character. Verse 6, "Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from of old." He goes to God in prayer, even as a sinner, because he knew God's character. He knew that God was a God of compassion and loving kindness and mercy and truth. And when he found himself in these difficult circumstances and even sin, he went to God and committed himself to God. And he's totally trusting in God because he knew he was a sinner. Look at verses 6, 7, 8. "Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love, for they have been from old. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way." And so he says that he not only admitted he's a sinner, he admits that God is the great one that will take care of that sin. And David wanted God to do two things for him. He wanted him to forget his sin, verse 7, and he wanted God to forgive his sin. So that's what God does. He when we cry out to him, he makes all the difference in the world. Look at verse 8. "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness." And David wanted to be led by God. He did not want to walk in his own way. He wanted to walk in God's way. And David knew God would always lead him in a life of ways that are true and right and what was best for him. He says there in verse 10, he wanted God to lead him in all the paths of God, the positive paths. That's his desire. And he's totally trusting in God because he feared God. Goes on and says at the end of verse 10, "For those who keep his covenant and his testimonies, all the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness. For your namesake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. Who is the man who fears the Lord? Him will he instruct in the way that he should choose. His soul shall abide in well-being, and his offspring shall inherit the land. The friendship of the Lord is for those who fear him, and he makes known to them his covenant. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net." He wants to be led by God. He says, he who fears God has nothing else to fear. David feared the Lord. He had a reverence. He was willing to receive God's instruction, and he knew his soul would prosper, and he knew his descendants would be blessed, and he would know God's secrets, and he would have God's protection. And knowing the secrets of God demands that person trust and fear God. If a believer purposes to totally trust God and fear him, he can know the mind of God. He can know, as Dr. Unger, Merle Unger says, his confidential counsel. J. Vernon McGee really hit the nail on the head when he wrote, "There are so many people today who are just question marks as far as their Christian lives are concerned. They don't understand this or that verse of Scripture. They don't understand why God does certain things. Their lack of understanding is almost a dead giveaway. They are constantly in a questioning state. But the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him." And so people who do not fear God will never grasp the deeper secrets of God. those remain at a surface level and they're thinking about God, they're never going to know about God's secrets concerning his program and what he wants to do in their lives. Look at verses 16 through 18. Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of the heart are enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Consider my affliction and my trouble and forgive all my sins. He's lonely and afflicted. His heart is truly troubled and hurting. What do we find David doing? He goes to the Lord in prayer. And godly people will have their share of emotional trouble and turmoil. But what is so sad is that so many people who profess to know God run to anyone but God with their problems. People complain about being lonely or burdened, yet these people do not fall on their knees before God and take their burdens to him. God is the most powerful and caring person that ever existed. When we have emotional struggles and problems, the first thing we should do is get on our knees and ask God for help. And that's what David did. He's trusting in God. It says verses 19. Let's finish the psalm here. Consider how many are my foes, and with what violent hatred they hate me. Oh, guard my soul and deliver me. Let me not be put to shame, for I take refuge in you. May integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. He's trusting in God. He wants his protection. And God is David's refuge. God was the one who could protect him. And David went to the Lord in prayer. And he waited on God for his deliverance and for Israel's redemption. And you think about our country today as we pray for it and all that is going on right now. Let's be people that not just pray for ourselves, but for our leaders, for our country. And even as David prayed, not just for himself, but for his people Israel. Let's be that kind of Christian.